Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I've done my commuting and now I'm muting. It is Pete Donaldson here on the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson. And can I say my name again, Pete Donaldson?
And I'm Luke Moore.
It's episode 160 on Thursday, the something of March.
18th of April. 160, famously the maximum score you can achieve here with three darts on a dartboard. 160!
It was the number for dial-a-disc as well, back in the 80s.
What's dial-a-disc?
It was when you could ring up a number owned by the General Post Office in the United Kingdom that would play you the latest chart hits.
Wow, that is brilliant. Wow. That's amazing.
300, I want to hear Aha's Take On Me, Please. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Do you remember when talk to me about polyphonic ringtones?
Oh, polyphonics were a game changer, weren't they, after the monophonics?
Yeah. I had California Love by Two Back in the, and it basically just like this.
Yeah. That works as a ringtone because it's actually quite a repetitive noise, isn't it?
For a bit. And then it becomes really annoying and you think, that's annoying because I pay £1.49 for that.
That's cheap. They used to be a lot more expensive. Whenever they'd add a new sort of system, like they'd have like animated GIFs, little animations, wallpapers. Whenever it would get more complex, they would add another quid onto what they were charging you.
It's a cabal.
Just,
to print money.
Just having a little shitty wallpaper that someone's like programmed themselves in the front.
Oh. I've got a feeling that kind of business might have gone out of business overnight.
Yeah, they made the crazy frog money and they fucked off.
That's it.
Did you ever make your own ringtone on your mobile phone?
I kind of think I might have done on my Sony Ericsson.
Right.
But I can't fully remember.
I watched a man today, just on literally on the street. I was just walking up then to get to the office. A man is drinking like a bubble tea, and he spits out, you know, those little tapioca balls.
Yeah.
Onto a plate. It's quite disgusting, actually. And then he attaches electrodes to a...
So you watch this on your phone, not on a man doing it on the street?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I was very confused there.
It is Highbury. These things can happen. Spitting them out onto a raw on a plate, and he attaches electrodes to them, which go into like a little microprocessor, which then goes into a sampler and sequencer. And then he does a little kind of like drum beat on by tapping the tapioca.
Wow.
Literal tapioca taps.
Does it sound good?
Sounds great.
Oh yeah, have you got to the point where you even thought of that?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I do find the whole MIDI interface fascinating.
We're on episode 160 and then that little joke I made about the dartboard and 180 and all that reminds me of a story involving ex-Liverpool player Jason McAteer.
Right.
You heard
okay.
the story where he's in the middle of his football career and he is famously quite a stupid man. And for those who are listening who don't know much about football or overseas, look him up, Jason McAteer. He's well known as being quite...
He had a fight with Michael Owen in recent memory.
Did he really?
Remember, in the last month, he kicked Michael Owen and they had a bit of a scuffle.
Oh, of course. That's right. That was in the Legends, Six Legends. Masters or something. Yeah. Anyway, so Jason McAteer and a couple of other Liverpool players, as the story goes, it may well be apocryphal, but it's still funny. The story goes that they see Jimmy White, of course, a legendary snooker player. And he's kind of across the room at a distance. And Jason McAteer loves snooker. And so he says to a couple of his mates,
colours.
Look, there's Jimmy White. I can't believe it. It's Jimmy White. He's like my hero. And one of them says, why don't you go over and talk to me? He says, no, I'm too scared. And he says, well, why don't you just shout over something to get his attention? And Jason McAteer goes, all right, Jimmy, 180. And Jimmy White just looks back a bit confused. and they all just fall about laughing.
Oh, so, Jason, yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. But that sounds like a sledge. That sounds like someone taking the piss, doesn't it?
There's a few. There's a few other ones. Jason McAtee. The other one, very quickly, that springs to mind is when he was apparently applying for a credit card,
right?
And they had to fill this form in, and one of the things said job.
Yeah.
And it said, and he wrote obviously football or whatever, and it said position within the company, and he put like left back.
That's true. That is fine.
I suppose logically that is correct.
That is fine.
It is the Luke and Pete Show, episode 160, on Thursday, 18th of April. If you want to get in touch with us for any reason, about anything at all, and we'll catch up with some of your emails later on, of course, it's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Pete and I read every single one of the messages. It's interesting, actually, Pete. I realised this morning that it's great because certain emails appeal to you, and certain emails appeal to me. Mm. And I'll maybe get a sentence or two into an email and go, oh, that's a bit boring. And then you'll read it out and I go, bloody hell, that was really good.
Yeah.
So we've got a little sort of dual threat going
on. We're across it.
Yeah, it's good. Mm. Did you know there are 17 million flies for every human being on Earth?
How many flies?
17 million.
Right.
For every human being on Earth.
That's too many. Where are they hiding? I see like one fly a day, maximum.
No, you don't. You see more than that.
Nah.
They not buzz around your windowsill when you're at home. Surely they do.
Well, I do leave out old chicken bones.
Carcasses. Yeah, yeah.
Now,
I heard that on Radio 4. There was an interview. It's called... Is that Radio 4 programme called The Life Scientific?
Right.
Where Jim Al-Khalili gets a different scientist every time. And he had this woman who... I forget her name, which is shameful.
It's like Berkham Said Revisited, isn't it? But
With For Science.
Yeah,
and she was this fly expert. She said, yeah, there are 17 million flies for every human being on Earth.
I think, statistically... There's probably a very fair chance. When you get that bigger number, there's probably a fair statistical chance that that is wildly inaccurate.
I guess you
could be out by a few billion, couldn't you? And nobody would say yes or no. They could be talking utter shit, quite frankly.
When you try and work out the total of flies that is on the calculator on your iMac or whatever it is, it errors you.
Can you not? Make the calculator bigger, because you've got 119E.17. Make the calculator bigger. Maybe the screen will give you more numbers.
I don't even know you could do that.
Well, I mean, presume E just means there's not enough room. It doesn't mean like error. It just means...
Yeah, let me make it bigger. I think I'll look back on this as an excellent feature.
Click that green thing.
Oh, right. It's still not working, though, is it? No.
Unbelievable.
Just give me a lot.
But it's giving you loads of functions.
Other options. Yeah.
Do a bit of cosine.
It's a bit of trigonometry.
Sine, cos.
Cos, sine, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of flies on Earth. I'd quite like to know where they are, but apparently, obviously, they're very, very important to the ecosystem of the planet. Mm. So don't. Do kill them, but don't kill all of them.
Kill them,
you want the 17 million for each person. I mean, if you get yourself down to a good 16 million, yeah, that's a pretty good effort.
Stamp them. I like it. It puts in the mind the image of Pigpen from Snoopy.
What's
I
that again?
Snoopy. Pigpen. He was like Snoopy and Friends. Charlie Brown.
Yeah, I know what that is, but I don't know.
Pigpen was like a dirty kid who had flies.
Oh yeah, flies.
He always had like. Sure. Shit, yeah,
I didn't know who he was. I think
his name was Pigpen.
I didn't remember that was his name.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else has been going on, Pete? What have you been doing?
Not a lot. I've been doing a lot of. I've front loaded my week so that after today, I've got nothing on. What I should have done is sort of spread out all of my activities throughout the week instead of just concentrating on just bad time management as usual.
For you, the devil makes work for idle hands.
True. I had half an hour before the Spurs match last night and I was like, I've got half an hour free. I've not had half an hour free for like 4 or 5 days. This is brilliant. And I just wasted it, Luke.
Doing what?
Just thinking about what I could do with half an hour. I was like, I went on my Steam thing. I could play a half an hour of a video game. And it's depressing. This is what happens when you're in your 30s, guys. You think you got all the time in the fucking world. You don't. When you hit 30, even if you don't have kids or any result, imagine if I had kids and a wife.
Wow.
Or husband. Like, this would be a nightmare. This would be more of a nightmare.
Why don't you slow down a bit? Because a lot for me to process there. You with kids. And a wife or husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, God.
I think your kids would be really cute.
Yeah, do you reckon?
I think you'd dress them appallingly, but I think they'd be really cute.
I wouldn't dress them in little suits. I'd get them...
You'd dress them really impractically, I think.
I'd just dress them up in little sleeping bags like they're lava, just coming out.
Your kid would... When I picture your kid, I picture it with a really dirty face, just wearing welly boots, pants, and an old T-shirt. That's it.
To be fair, that is the North. That is what we all look like. That is what we all looked like back in the day.
It's funny, where I grew up, which is as, you know, as I wouldn't say down at heel, but it was, yeah, it wasn't particularly salubrious.
Right.
And whenever I think of my mates when I was a kid, I think of them either with, I don't know why, with no trousers on or no t-shirt on.
Yeah.
Only one or the other.
So liberating.
Yeah.
I think what's more working class, no trousers or no top? I think it might be no top.
I think
no top with a tab in your mouth. No,
nothing could be more working class in terms of my upbringing than a kid with a pair of sort of dirty red welly boots, a pair of pants,
yeah,
an old t-shirt with food all down there, and then a really messy mouth, potentially a fag beyond the ear.
No, a little scab on her head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little
yeah.
circular scab yeah. where they've not ran into something that's not really child protected.
That was me at the age of about five. stood at the bottom of my garden by the garden gate picking my nose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boogers.
Every adult that walked past the back garden gate.
Just tutted.
Oi, mister. Oi, mister.
Give us some money.
Yeah, mister.
Give us some money.
Like those kids I saw at Guildford train station that time. Have I told that story on this?
No,
the,
what?
There was like a guy who just was standing on the train platform with a beard.
Mm.
And there's a lot of kids standing around at Guildford. They were like, I mean, Guildford is quite nice, but there are some parts of it which are a bit rough. And this group of kids.
The home of EA Sports.
Is that right?
I believe so, yes.
They weren't saying that. There was a group of, they're about 12 years old probably. And you know, like when you see a group of five or six lads who are about 12 and it's maybe 10 p.m., you think you shouldn't be out.
Yeah.
They're not up to any good. And anyway, they were standing around like, giggling to themselves about 15, 20 paces away from this bloke with a beard.
Right.
And they were clearly, because I was on the opposite platform, they were clearly trying to work out what to say that would be really funny because they're 12. And
160.
Yeah, yeah. And one of them just shouted out after a while, "Oi, beardy, nice beard." And they were really happy about that.
Yeah.
And then one of them got even more braver and went, "Oi, Captain Birdseye, do us a fish finger." Like that. And then everyone got on the train.
These are all spectacular.
Yeah, yeah, so it's kind of a letdown, but that's how it goes.
You have done that before, and I love the glee in which you do the voice.
It was a great moment. But why do I remember that and not remember any of like my schooling?
there was this lad, my friend Craig, Scottish Craig, was on a train, and I think his brother might listen, actually. Hello to Craig's brother.
What's matter. His name? You don't know.
I can't remember. Maybe I'll edit this bit out, because it's rude that I can't remember. What's Craig's brother's name? He got married.
I think you should atone for your sins. Don't cover it up
Glasgow.
With some post-production network. Take it head on.
What's Craig's brother's name?
Take
Why
it on
don't
the chin.
I know that? I went to ATP with him once. I'm just typing Craig into Google. That's unhelpful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Good God. Anyway, what should I have to rely on my memory to remember other people's brothers? I don't think so. He seemed like a nice chap. He was a nice chap. He played football with us. It doesn't matter. Craig was on the train, and there was a bloke. Everyone started legging it down the station. It was like some Southland station. Might be in Brixton, might not. But people started running it down the thing back towards the train. And Craig was like, "What the fuck's going on?" And I was like, "There's a guy with a knife. There's a guy with a machete."
What?
So everyone jumps. That's this a few months ago. And then so everyone runs on the train, and the driver closes the door. And this guy, true to form, this guy is like waving around a fucking machete. Going, rah, rah.
Bloody hell.
Like crazy person, like
yeah.
And so everyone's going, "Oh, blue hell!" And then he just, you know, he's got no one to attack, so he's just gone waiting for to be tased by the police. That'll no doubt arrive at some point. And so everyone's like just laughing and joking on the train because they've calmed down a little
and
bit.
And the doors open again.
The doors open.
Fucking hell! I'll be shitting a brick. What happened then? That is
like a
horrendous.
Horror film.
Yeah, that's terrible.
No one got attacked. It was just good. So
wow. You know.
Just taking his machete for a walk.
That's the last thing you want to hear. Imagine if you're doing that. Oh yeah, bloody hell, this guy. Hey, and then you just hear a beep 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 beep. Beep, beep. Oh, no. Fucking hell!
It's like the start of a video game.
There are no buttons on that train to hit the emergency close the door.
Yeah.
It's like you can emergency open the doors or bust out a window. That's the last thing you want. They need to mitigate for this for mad people outside.
At least on bus doors, they sort of fold in so you could kind of use them. You could push them back into place, I reckon, but not in a bloody train.
Do you remember that viral video of that guy who got pissed off because he missed his bus stop?
The Peckham Terminator.
Yeah.
Like, just watch. He goes...
And he just pulled out...
He really can't. He's all talks like this. Don't you fucking give me none of that, you fucking slag. Like, just shouting at all people.
Yeah.
And then...
The door's closed.
He tries... Yeah, the door's closed and he wants to get off. And he's like... Personally going, "You fucking let me off, driver, you fucking cunt." And then he just marches through this plate glass window, effectively, on the door.
I remember being so ambivalent about watching that video because... for the first half of it, I'm like, this is unacceptable behaviour. I mean, you go on, be a decent person about it. You know, have a bit of consideration. Whoa, that is impressive. To be fair to you, that is walking through two plate glass windows and walking off is very good.
Oh, there was glass everywhere.
To be fair, he's backed up what he set out to do there. To be
and
fair,
and the bloke was filming it. Goes, Pecknam Terminator.
That's brilliant. Before we go to a break, and I'll get Charlie to tweet that. That's funny. Before we go to a break, I just wanted to bring this into the mix. That apparently there's an Asda in Wales.
Oh yes, oh,
you've seen this as of yesterday. There's an Asda in Wales. I mean, it might still be there, which got a translation wrong. It should have said, because obviously they show the signs in Wales in Welsh and in English.
Yeah.
And the sign in English, of course, said alcohol-free, which basically meant you can get beers and wine that's alcohol-free for people who don't want to take alcohol or drink alcohol, but they want to drink wine or beer. But the translation translated to free alcohol, right? So essentially, people thought that they could get it for free, which, of course, is ambitious at the best of times.
It's a great start to the Easter weekend, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So if they haven't rectified it, I mean, I'll just try and find out exactly which Asda it is. Cumbran, is that how you pronounce it? Cumbran?
I believe so. Yes.
Get yourself down there. Yeah. Oi, Wales, more like ales, guys.
is it Tier 4 or is it Tier 4 the actual place?
More like ales.
Ales, yeah, free ales.
That's what I've got written down here. Ales.
Do you remember that guy, translator who had an out of office set saying, I'm out of the office, I'll be back on, you know, December the 7th or whatever. And the council had sent a translation to be translated, an English phrase to be translated for a road sign. And so when they got this thing sent back saying, I'm out of office, they put that on the sign.
This cannot have happened.
It definitely happened. It said,
what was the sign supposed to say?
Like next turn off fucking Cardiff, you know what I mean? It was like that, but it was in Welsh.
We're just like, I'm out of office, we're back on the 29th of April. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Isn't that good? You'd think they'd feed that back into Google just to double check.
So I'll tell you what I did once to one of the directors at Capital Radio where we both worked.
No.
Where I was a shit, to be fair. And I didn't do any work. And I just get bored really easily. And one of the directors, who was a good egg, I won't name him, he left his computer open.
Mm.
And I didn't want to be... I wanted to...
Start with D?
Yeah, second name does, yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to play the normal trick on him and just, like, be an idiot. Mm. So what I did was, like, I probably should have been fired for this, but I wasn't. I did an email to everyone in the company.
Right.
And I put a lot of effort into it because I know he'd gone to a meeting, so he'd be gone for an hour. And I put a really nicely put together, well written invite to a barbecue at his house that Friday. So he spent the rest of the day replying to everyone saying, yeah, this isn't happening. No, you can't have my address. I thought it was good. But I really made it in his tone of voice. I was has anyone else got that Friday feeling? And I was thinking, we normally go for beers, but I thought what we could do this time is all come to my house and have a barbecue. And when he found that it was me, to his eternal credit, he said, you're a fucking prick for doing that, but I respect it. And he didn't fire me, so it was good.
Game knows game.
I think
game
looking back game. On it, you know when people make terrible decisions because they subconsciously want to get out of a relationship?
Right.
I think I was doing that with a job.
I sent one of those yesterday. I said that the lift was out of order. So I said that one of the person whose email was left open, I emailed the whole company saying one of my Sherpas that I employed to get me up the stairs has lost one of his crampons. And if he's furious, he says he's going to attack everyone else with the crampons until he finds out where his other crampon is.
What did everyone do?
I didn't get any, well, because I wouldn't get the replies.
No.
So, yeah.
Unless people reply all, then you'll see it.
Yeah.
People who reply all are the worst. Let's have a break, Peter, and then we'll do some emails. I've got some more imaginary friend business.
Oh.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more.
That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
It's the rolling of the R's I like.
Julian Assange.
What I like about people... Did you see that people... I think I sent you a tweet. Basically, a fairly well-respected tech journalist was emailed by the government agency that runs the new porn registration thing.
You know, what even is that?
Basically, from May, I think they were supposed to do it in April, but obviously just slipped because government. It's
probably having a wank.
Probably having a big,
big old wank.
You seen this stuff? Have you fucking seen this stuff?
I can't get anything done.
Tops off. This lass is tops off. How is that allowed? They emailed a tech journalist saying, basically emailing, it was like a mail shot. A mail him.
A what shot?
A mail shot.
Okay.
Saying, this is what's happening.
Isn't that a category?
This is what?
Isn't that a category in those websites?
What do you mean, mail shot? Naughty postman.
Yeah.
It's like, what is it? Fake postman.
Yeah.
I've got a package for you. They should do fake Amazon.
Ding dong.
Person.
I'm sure it's been done, Pete. Let's
do you reckon?
Of course it has, yeah.
Do
you want to handle some swollen goods?
They sent out some... That's just a policeman, isn't it?
I know, but it's from the office, isn't it? That's what I'm doing, yeah.
They sent out a mail or something explaining the new SIP system and how you're going to be able to register to access pornography in the UK as of next month or 2 months' time.
How do you feel about that as a libertarian, Pete?
Well, I'm not a libertarian, but that is, it's just naive to the point of stupidity, isn't it? As everything the fucking government
so
do.
So basically, if you want to visit a porn site from next month in the UK, you've got to register on the web, on the website.
You've got to log in.
That's mad.
I'm not in the mood for logging into anything when I'm ready to go.
I'm in the mood.
Only deviants have a login for websites of that nature.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
But maybe I have several. Maybe this is the double bluff. Yeah.
I think people will make up their own minds, Pete.
But they're in charge of GDPR as well, so it's that part of the government that does GDPR.
Data protection.
Yeah. And so they they sent out to one journalist, and in fact they sent it to a million, like say 100 journalists in the UK, big tech journalists, and they didn't BCC everyone in. So now every tech journalist has got every other tech journalist's email address.
Jesus wept.
And they are in charge of GDPR and also the safeguarding of the registration of people who probably don't want to broadcast the fact that they've got a fucking they've got a registration for a porn site.
This is mad.
It's mad, isn't it?
The world's through the looking glass, isn't it?
It's terrible, isn't it?
Well, that's one thing, we'll get to emails in a minute, and so stay with us. But the other thing I found fairly interesting, and I thought about bringing this to the table this week,
right?
And I thought, oh, maybe I won't because it's a bit complicated. But anyway, I'll just run it top line really quickly. Do you find it interesting that Notre Dame, which obviously tragically burnt down,
yeah,
and by the way, that's another misconception. Americans do not call Notre Dame Cathedral Notre Dame; they call their university in the US Notre Dame in Indiana.
Yeah, where did they get that name from?
Because it is called Notre Dame.
Like, where did they get that name from, though?
Yeah, sure, but Americans call the cathedral Notre Dame. They can name it, generally speaking, they name it correctly. In my experience, anyway, that's
I think what's more problematic is that Hunchback. They're not going to remake that, are they?
No.
A disabled man.
What's his name?
Say again.
What's his name?
What do you mean?
The Hunchback of
Notre Dame.
What's his name?
What is his name?
Is it Quasimodo?
Yes, there we go.
That rings a bell.
Is that a big sell?
Yeah.
I knew you never forget anything.
Who do I think I am? Jim Campbell. Anyway, the thing I found fascinating is I'm not trivialising what happened in Notre Dame. It's a tragedy. Yeah, it's sad for everyone because obviously it's such cultural importance. all the rest of it. But do you,
all the rest of
do
it.
Do you find it interesting that of all the things, the tragic things have happened in the world, say, in the last 15 years, that Notre Dame, in 48 hours,
yeah.
was able to raise €1 billion. A billion.
Yeah.
In 48 hours for restoration of Notre Dame. Now, that to me says that people with that kind of disposable income, it's not nothing new, are vainglorious, egocentric dickheads, basically, because that is a big high-ticket thing. Oh, he's the guy who restored Notre Dame Cathedral.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's, I find that fascinating, given what everything else that's gone on, war, climate change, everything.
I can think of a building that went on fire not a few miles from this particular studio about 2 years ago that people weren't raising quite so many funds for, and a and the governing class, well, Grenfell.
Yeah, of course.
The governing class just wholly ignored and tried to brush on the carpet as best they could.
Yes, I agree. Pete, and, you've added extra context to my point.
And
yeah, right.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
It is bizarre. Let's move on to some emails, though, because people don't want to hear about us pontificating or opining on what's wrong in the world, Pete. They want to be entertained.
We're going to build... We are going to build the spire. We're going to build the roof back up in... Under 6 months. That's what Macron said.
Is that what he sounds like?
I don't know. I never listened to him.
You sounded a bit like the chef in Guesthouse Paradiso.
No, I sound... no, I sound...
From the creators
like,
of Bottom.
No, I sounded like the... God, that was the Bottom film, wasn't it? Guesthouse Paradiso. I went to the cinema
certainly
for that.
One of them.
Yeah.
You no, fucking bastards, why won't you pay? Green card? Visa? Free pillow? Anyway, you have to have seen it. Carry on.
I know I sound like the two French men who adopt briefly Bart Simpson in The Simpsons.
You also sounded a bit like
antifreeze in the wine.
One of the singers of Be Our Guest in the Disney film Beauty and the Beast.
Ah, not Rigodon. He was in Willy
Lumiere,
Fox.
Maybe
Lumiere.
Yeah,
he's a Canlini.
Yeah, seems
be
to
be our guest. Be our guest. Put the service to the test.
Try the grey stuff. It's delicious. Anyway, don't believe me. Ask the dishes. Pete Donaldson, yeah. What's your email first?
We've got an email from Lewis. Lewis, save yourself the pain. Is this the same Lewis that emailed the ramble? Because I think I sang the Radiohead song Lewis from the Iron Lung EP.
Could be.
From the 90s.
I'm not familiar with the song.
Oh, me pretty mange. Lou. Oh, I put too much. You get little Tabasco packets and I can't resist them.
There's one over there unopened.
Yeah, that's dessert.
Eat it now. Eat it now.
Put it in your eye.
People went mad when you ate space food. Eat Tabasco now. I'm going to film it for Insta. Wait! I've got to film it for Insta.
Love Tabasco.
I've got to film it for Insta.
Make everything better.
Okay, go do it.
Oh, God.
It's dripping everywhere. People are going to be fuming. That's a whole packet. Do you actually like the taste of it?
Yeah, I really do, but it's a bit hot without any food. People complain about Tabasco because it's on every table, pretty much. It's the vinegar that hits you. Yeah, it's on every table, and people complain that it's not the best hot sauce, but it's just like it's delicious. I can't get enough of it.
What do you like it on particularly?
Not my tongue straight. I'll give you that. It's just so like it's like a. It's not angry. It's not hot. I was never like into hot stuff, but then Tabasco came in my life.
But when
Sean Keaveney from Six Music, he when I was a runner at XFM, he used to send me upstairs for.
He's left Six now.
No, I used to eat his afternoons. So he just moved for breakfast. Mm. I used to get a like a toast with Marmite and two fried eggs, and he used to go like bang as much Tabasco as you can, and however much Tabasco, it wasn't enough.
Mm.
And he said, hurt me.
Really?
Pete, put as much as you can on. Fucking hurt me.
Oh, that's quite interesting. My dad used to eat a fried egg by eating all the white stuff around it and then covering the yolk with so much black pepper you couldn't see the yolk and then pop it in one.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I can't
vouch for its flavour, but my dad used to swear by it. Can we please do an email? We're fucking 25 minutes
in. Barely.
Do you want me to do one?
Lou.
Oh, yeah, Lewis.
Monday, sure. Pete mentioned something about rich people getting away with crimes, but I don't know if you caught the 24 Hours on Police Custody episode a few weeks ago. No.
I didn't. It's a good show, that, by the way. It sounds like it would be shit, but it is actually good.
Is it? What channel is it on?
It's like a procedural Channel 4 show about how they operate and how they get people, charge them, or get them to confess within that 24-hour time frame.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's a countdown clock and everything.
It's
a bit like... Do you know what it's a bit like, mate? It's a bit... I'll tell you what it is. It's a cross between three programmes. It's a cross between the famous US cop drama, Cops,
right.
Documentary...
Bad cops, bad cops.
What did you say there?
Crystal Maze.
Crystal Maze.
Crippen Factor.
And finally, the 90s quiz show with Paul Daniels, Every Second Counts. carry on.
What had happened is that someone phoned the police about their home getting burgled for a load of antiques. The police were looking at the case, and after a few weeks, it happened that the guy put in an insurance claim of £250,000 before, which got the police suspicious, always the way.
Yeah.
The guy in question lived on a stately home and also owned one in Ireland. He kept demanding he be paid £50,000 of the money immediately, which the insurers obviously denied. He then sent the police through more photos of what had gone missing to help get his claim through quicker. Stupidly, he didn't know that these photos could be time-stamped and also have the longitude and latitude of where they'd been taken.
Wow.
He told the police originally he'd had antiques in a fireplace which were being covered by Persian rugs that had been stolen from his cellar. When the police got to the location, it was in Ireland and all the antiques and fireplace were there.
Huh.
So he'd moved it from one gaff to the other.
Yeah, got busted.
When being questioned, he just kept saying he had two of the item and the ones that the police and the ones that the police had found were not the ones he'd been saying had been stolen.
Amazing. It's just a coincidence, yeah?
He ended up getting 8 years in prison for fraud.
Blimey.
You do see that quite a lot in like true crime podcasts. Everyone always takes a life insurance policy out like a few months before they go missing, and it's like, really? Because like, and they always seem to pay out, and it's like people must know.
In the UK, I believe you have to take a life insurance policy out when you get approved for a mortgage. So everyone, I think, would have one here if they're a homeowner. I think that's the case. Anyway,
I see.
What about this, Pete? I want to introduce you to the People's Republic of Fuseland.
Oh.
F-U-S-E. Fuseland.
Just fuses? Over
yeah, there? Imagine a fuse and a plug.
Oh.
Chuck land on the end of it.
Yep.
You got yourself a country. Dear Luke and Pete, after hearing the chat about creating imaginary countries on episode 159, I was struck with an intense feeling of deja vu. I too, as a young child, created my own country named Fuseland. As an only child, I often had to find my own ways of amusing myself, and during one particularly boring afternoon, Fuseland was created. Fuseland was located somewhere between France and Spain and was comprised of 5 million people who spoke Fuselish, a language I created which blended English with a few French and Spanish words that I learned at school. To be fair, it was mostly English. I created cities such as Isaacton, a large industrial working-class metropolis, Timberland, a posh capital, and Swidlow, a working-class coastal town comprised mainly of burly dock workers. I even created a government and parliament whose members I moulded after people I knew, even going full voodoo at times and creating political scandals that would engulf parliamentary certain members, moulded after, of course, people I wasn't too fond of. I even altered every map I could find in the house.
Oh, magic.
To include Fuseland, a practice that annoyed my parents, especially when I ruined my grandfather's ancient globe.
not the ancient globe!
This email... Do not touch the ancient globe!
That's another globe we talked. Remember that dog pissed on the globe last week?
Yep.
In the school?
He did. Don't you dare tickle
my
globes.
Don't piss on my globe.
This email, I have to say, continues for some time. It continues to include, obviously, 18 different football clubs, in the first tier, and 18 different fictional football clubs in the second tier. Swidlow FC, Ramden FC, an old illustrious club that fell into financial hardship and was slowly making its way back up the footballing ladder. He said, my interest expanded beyond just football. I went so far as to write volumes about Fuseland's history, including ancient medieval conflicts with the Spanish and French over land. I even rewrote the history of World War II to include Fuseland's brave contributions to the Allied cause. Contributions, of course, which included liberating France in 1944 and bravely fighting against German invaders in 1941. As you may have guessed, I had a lot of time on my hands, and this project spanned almost 10 years and comprised much of my childhood. No matter how old I get, I always look back fondly at my creative recreation of football games, political sagas and historical events, and it was nice to find that someone else out there had got to experience the same joy of creating your own world. Love the show. All the best from San Diego, Alan Bilsell.
Write the book, guy.
I'd love to get some sort of photos of all the memorabilia he's still got. You know, you could probably go some way towards creating an entirely fictional drama series or something.
Set in like a Lilliput-style kind of world that he's created himself.
One question I've got. Why Fuseland? Why do they call it that?
I mean, he's gone into a draw and Dad's left behind a lot of fuses. I can only imagine that's the situation.
Did you have any imaginary stuff going on back in the day?
No, I think we spoke this. I'm just not really that way inclined, which is bizarre because in every other way I'm very strange.
Yeah. Do you acknowledge that you are strange? Do you think that you're stranger than the average person?
I've heard enough times being described by other people
as eccentric,
as weird.
Do you see that as pejorative?
No, I don't mind it. I think there's enough space. There's enough soil to bury us all, isn't there? There's enough space in the world for us all.
Well, I would say eccentric's a gentler way.
There's enough flies for us all.
Yeah, there are. We've all got 17 million flies each, no matter what we're like.
We got flies on us. Yeah. We all got flies on us.
But do you not think eccentric would be more sort of complimentary and generous than weird? I think weird.
Well, I remember like a mate's ex-girlfriend. I got some records made, some vinyl records of me saying Merry Christmas.
That was very nice to do, I remember.
For 3 minutes, just saying Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And I got them cut, and I had like just a stack of these records, and very few people nowadays have record players or the space to keep a record player, even if they wanted one. And so every person I learned had a record player, I would give these records to. And I gave one to...
Sorry, listeners. I didn't get one.
Did you not get one?
No.
Nah, you will have done, surely.
Did I?
Yeah, I probably did. I think you probably
did. Maybe I did, yeah.
So a friend I gave it to, and he took it home, and his missus went, "What's this? What's on here?" And I went, "Oh, Pete gave us it." And he went, she went, "What's on it?" And he said, I think he said, like, sort of, you know, in the nicest way possible, "It's probably something weird."
Yeah.
And she told me that maybe off social media or something that it's just Pete being weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that is what people think of me. But I've come to embrace it. It's fine.
Yeah, I think it makes the world go round, Pete, and my life is far richer with you in it.
But then that person played the same record with his current girlfriend at her house.
And she fell in love with you.
There was like a situation where like the mum of, I think, her was going, "What the fuck is that voice?" I was playing the long con. I was playing the long game.
I might take, if you did indeed get me one, which you probably did, I'm probably being unfair there. I might take it down to my family's this Christmas.
Yeah, just play it. Just me going,
"What's your favourite Christmas
Merry
song?"
Merry Christmas.
Well, it's this actually.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas for 3 minutes.
Did you actually do it for 3 minutes?
Yeah, I did for 3 minutes. Because at one point, the bloke who was on the radio, I was on the radio at the time when I was recording it. The bloke was on after me, Chris. He comes in and I went, "Oh, come in, Chris." And I think I'd knock over a glass because I'm surprised that Chris has turned up. And that stayed in. That stayed in the master.
Made it in the cut.
It's kind of like your version of George Dawes's Peanuts. Yeah, exactly. Just got to keep going.
All right, Pete, let's get out of here. We're out of time. I know you're looking at another email, but we've got to go. We'll do it on Monday, whatever it is.
I think I might be sick anyway. I've had too much Tabasco.
Have a lovely Easter, everyone, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back on Easter Monday.
Enjoy the eggs, dickhead.
But even though you're not commuting into work on that day, do still listen. Hello at lukeandpeachy.com to get in touch. That was episode 160 on Thursday, the 18th of April. We bloody loved your company. Thank you very much. And we shall see you on Monday.
180.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, "Yeah, I've had a good life, right?"
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, "Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind."
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, "I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit," and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, "Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?"
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.